time to get up, get out of bed. Fill your cup and get ahead with WKGN. 1-3-4-0.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges and Houston Kress. Fan Run Radio.
To the end zone and caught for the touchdown, McCoy. Milton to Brew McCoy. Milton gonna take a shot wide open and just strutting in is Keaton. Joe Milton does it again.
Best formation football there is. And that feeling for Josh Heupel. The Tennessee Volunteers are the champions of the Capital One Orange Bowl. And Joe Milton has got to feel great.
Rick Barnes, Bill Self shake hands. Tennessee, they're your champs. The Bad Boy Mowers battle for Atlantis goes to the Volunteers. And they were the bad boys from the jump in this one.
That's an interesting question. Oh,
this is a moonshot. Wake up, squirrels. You got a visitor into the trees.
You called down the thunder. Well, now you got it.
You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me. You hear? Hell's coming with me.
Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. It is 3 and Out, Monday edition of the program. Your final four is set.
It's a doozy.
I mean, we already did Misery Friday since we lost on Thursday, but it was kind of disappointing watching teams like San Diego State, FAU, Miami.
I told you, though,
former that, power UConn.
That one Miami game I watched, though, I
you
told
did.
You they looked good.
You were on it
2 months
this is
ago.
Like your Penn State at home late in the year take.
They're the only Final Four team I had left because I watched them late night on ACC.
Wait, you picked Miami to go to the Final Four?
No, I bet UConn.
Oh.
I did have Miami in the Elite Eight.
I thought you were talking about that Miami Duke game you watched.
That's what I was talking about.
Okay, yeah.
That's why I knew the Hurricanes had it in them.
Texas was up 13 like 12 minutes to go.
I know.
Miami hit 2 3-pointers the entire game.
Really?
They didn't take a 3-pointer until about 7 minutes to go in the first half.
And it was a pretty high scoring game.
This happens in football, I feel like, more than basketball. Do you think with all the rim and three stuff, do you think some coaches are going to be like, you know what, I'm just going to recruit just all inside guys, and we're just not even going to shoot from out there?
Well, they have guys that can shoot the three,
well, I know that,
but
yeah.
Like their DNA is attack the basket, and worked out pretty well. Texas made a run, 10.5, and start the second. And
how can these teams score, but we can't? That's what annoyed me. I was watching a game, and I'm like, they're in the 60s, and there's 10 minutes to go. What is going
on?
We
wouldn't know about that.
No.
I mean, I thought for sure. I'm not crazy. This one did not go to overtime, right?
It did not.
In my head, I thought this was definitely going to overtime. And then it was still 88-81.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Now, the San Diego State-Creighton game, it bogged down.
Yeah.
But San Diego State, a lot like us. Could have been us, boys. Could have been us.
Well, didn't they score against Bama, though? They scored.
Yeah, it's true. We didn't get. We hadn't talked about the Friday games, I guess. I guess we could start there. Alabama!
I mean, it feels good, but it doesn't feel as good.
Man.
They were so sad on Twitter, Bama fans. They were coming at us.
Team of Destiny.
You had that one girl just talking about how the murder overshadowed the season.
Yeah, it really took.
Like,
It really took away from the greatness of this Alabama team. It's a real shame when people let things like murder, you know, derail
life,
a season.
Literal life and death. God, what a tweet.
That was amazing to think that someone with their little fingers on their phone was like, here's the point I'm going to make.
I don't know why it was so funny. You said her little fingers.
Yeah, just.
Just her little fingers.
You know, it's a real shame that dead lady is ruining the season. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? We just couldn't overcome the adversity, that we gave to ourselves.
All right, Butch Jones.
God. Holy. It was unbelievable.
Brandon Miller's NCAA tournament run, 9 points per game, 7 rebounds, 2 assists on 20% from the field, 8 of 41, 15% from three.
Told you guys I'd catch up to him eventually.
Yeah, including 3 of 19 in that game.
Thankfully, after this tournament run, the Alabama DA's office can, without a doubt, 100% confirm that Brandon Miller was not the shooter.
Boo!
Har, har, har.
The other tweet going around, wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah. Man. Didn't see many Alabama fans in Louisville on Saturday. They got it out of Dodge.
I don't blame them.
Saw Creighton fans everywhere. Of course, they were still playing. A few San Diego State ones as well. Yeah, San Diego State 71, Alabama 64. San Diego State is, I mean, they got some dudes. We talked about that. I told you about the rope guy because he kind of dominated the Furman game. He played like 9 minutes against Alabama. And then he was getting the ball yesterday with the game on the line. I'm like, what is this team? Like, you don't even know who the go-to guys are.
Matchup dependent.
I guess.
He plays it by the numbers.
It's crazy, man. Like, they got some. I'm like, who's this 6'9", dude? Where'd he come from? I feel like all their guards.
They're all built.
Yeah. I was about to say.
Grown men.
All their guards are tree trunks. Mm-hmm. Their bigs are, you know, oaks. I mean, they're just. They got dudes, man. And then Miami over Houston. I didn't get a chance to watch that one, but 89-75. Billy Statt said Miami just couldn't miss. Second half, especially. I don't know if you saw that one.
They've looked pretty good.
They have.
What sucked about watching Miami over the weekend was hearing the name Nigel Pack, Nigel Pack, Nigel Pack, a guy we wanted in the portal. Mm. Against Houston, Pack went for 26. He was 7 of 10 from 3.
Good Lord. Yeah, they shot threes in that game.
Then Wong dropped 20.
It's amazing how, I mean, you know, Houston has a great season where they're like 33-3 before that game, and no one will ever remember.
No.
You're done.
And the Final Four being in Houston. I mean, they were that close.
Yeah. I forgot about that. Then Texas knocked out Xavier, 83-71. These are your Friday games. And finally, Creighton. It took them a while, but they finally got going like late in the first half, get a working margin against Princeton, and didn't look back. 86-75. The Blue Jays knocked out the final Super Cinderella. But, hell, I feel like we got kind of like 3.5 Cinderellas in the Final Four. I mean, UConn was that team early in the year, but they had slid. They're definitely the most dominant team in the tournament. It's not even close. But it'll be a new weekend and a new place, and you never know.
If UConn can keep this up, they're going to win the national championship.
Well, sure. I mean, they beat Gonzaga. These are Saturday games.
By 28.
82-54. I mean, it was – it's like the more, the more they got up, the more shots they hit.
And then there's FAU.
Mm-hmm.
Just winning.
Well, ticket prices are showing for the Final Four this coming weekend.
And?
You can tell there's no blue bloods there.
Like $135 to get in. That's all I saw.
This would have been the year for Tennessee to make it. You could have actually went.
That place would have been all orange.
I think after the Miami game ended, it was down 36% from last year's Final Four.
There's probably enough Tennessee alum in Houston to fill that place up. That lets you like live within driving distance. Man. We blew it, guys. In case you didn't know, on Thursday night, FAU played their worst half of the tournament against us in the first half.
Yeah. And we were up five.
We were up five.
Yeah.
Like, that should have been the death knell for them. They should have been done. And we played our second worst half of the tournament, I guess, in the first half. We just didn't know it yet because they had played so poorly. And we played our worst half in the second half.
I love sports. Just love them.
And somebody said it, maybe it was Adam on Friday, because a lot of people were saying, oh, well, if we're playing like this, Kansas State would have beat our ass anyway, so it's not that big a deal, you know, trying to at least put some virtual ointment over the wound. But I think it was Adam that said, our defense makes people look stupid anyway. Like, I would never discount just another chance for this team to play. Like, well, Newell was healthy. He played all 40 minutes.
And honestly,
but
outside of two games against Kentucky, we played better against name brand teams.
Yep.
Like, Kansas State, I realize they're not a blue blood, but they were in the top, you know.
They were the hottest team at the moment.
Yeah, and it's a top 10 team all year. I think we would have been ready to play against those guys. Whereas, I don't know, I just think there's something about seeing Louisiana and FAU. You just let your guard down a little bit. Then you play Duke and you look lights out. It was that way all season.
I don't know
lose
what it was.
Lose two to Missouri and then beat the hell out of Texas.
Yeah.
And Kansas.
And Alabama.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
And that's a problem when you got to win games in a row.
Yes, yes.
You have to win every game in a
row. It's so funny.
We got to the Final Four.
We sat here all season like, well, it's all about the draw. It's about you got a really pretty damn good draw.
Perfect.
And then the bracket really opened up for you.
Uh-huh.
And then it's just, FAU.
You'd have been better off playing Purdue Thursday.
Probably. I mean, as weird as that sounds, like we're gonna get up for those games. I don't even know if it was the matchup. FAU did to us what they've been doing to everyone else. I mean, they're undersized and they out rebound teams, and they do it consistently. It's like the ball just magnet bounces off the rim to those guys. I mean, they're working really hard. Don't hear me say it was all luck, but man, they just fly around.
Well, the 7-footer played the game of his life against Kansas State. I think Euros really helped him find his confidence. So
that's good.
Did you see him shoulder that guy down? The dude, actually, it was pretty bad. It was Sills, a little shooting guard for Kansas State. He ended up on a switch, and they threw it to the 7-footer, and he turned, and Sills flopped, and the guy waited, and he almost looked at the ref like, you gonna call anything? Okay, you're not? All right, cool. And then he dunked it, and then he landed on Sills. He's like, sorry. The dude was on the ground, just like dunked it, stepped on him. Sorry. Ran back down.
They can call a foul on that.
He kind of hung on the rim to try and avoid it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, he barely touched him. It was just funny. It was just like he literally like waited, like, okay, cool, I'll dunk it now. He was 6 of 11 from the floor, 13 rebounds. That's how they hung in this one. Their big guy showed up.
Yeah.
He played 29 minutes. He had been playing like 20 minutes. Yep. Rosada didn't do anything. He only played 12.
Noel could still be the player of the tournament if he wanted. He was crazy good this tournament.
Yeah, but he kind of shot him out a little bit. And I mean, 8 of 21. Ugh.
30 and 12.
He takes some bad shots. But yeah, I mean, he's a superstar. I couldn't. He took some horrible shots against Florida Atlantic that he made late in the game to keep him in it too.
Once Keontae Johnson fouled out, he had to kind of take over.
Well, and the Masu disappeared. Like, that guy had been carrying him. He had all those big shots against Kentucky.
Michigan State.
He had huge shots against Michigan State, and he played 14 minutes. He only had two fouls. Like, what the hell?
Matchup dependent.
I mean, I like their coach's, like, energy and, like, how they talk about, you know, all that kind of stuff, but he did not do a good job coaching offense in this game.
Didn't their coach go in
or defense,
FAU's locker room after they?
Yeah,
that was we talk about Barnes. Kind of weird. I don't know if he does that.
Jerome Tang's all class. I love that guy. Kentucky
you like him
fans
going
hate
to the locker
him.
Room?
I'm just not sure he knows X's and O's. Yeah. I mean, you give a lot of coaches Noel, they're going to look pretty damn good.
He might have caught lightning in a bottle in year one, so it'll be interesting to keep an eye on him moving forward.
Weren't they all transfer portal guys?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, Noel came from Little Rock.
The guys on the post game kept saying, yeah, Golden was the best player on the floor. Golden was the best. And I'm thinking, I'm going through the FAU lineup. I'm like, all right, obviously John L. Davis, who we're most worried about. And there's Greenlee, the point guard. And Boyd had been hot some. And Rosado was – I'm like, who the hell is Golden? I could not
– The big fella.
And I was like, wait a minute. They're talking about the Russian dude, just the defense and rebound guy. Are you kidding me?
Vladislav.
He had one foul in this game. One.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, Golden finished with 14 points, 13 rebounds.
They out – FAU out-rebounded Kansas State by –
22, it says.
Jeez. 22
44
rebounds.
To 22.
I'm telling you, they – and obviously they have a seven-footer. He had 13 rebounds. He had a really – but against us, when they're starting to claw back in the second half and then they're missing shots and they're getting those wild – I mean, they were just – they're quick to the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Florida Atlantic, though, had 22 turnovers.
Oh, yeah. They didn't even – I mean, it wasn't their best game by any stretch.
That's crazy. 22, you don't normally win. I guess when you out
– I mean, they're right on their three-point percentage, maybe a point better than normal as a team. They were great from the line. They were clutch.
Almost everywhere except for
– And I don't feel like they turned it over much down the stretch. Most of those came a little earlier in the game, and they rebounded their ass off.
What do you think about
14
their,
offensive boards to five.
Did you see how they lined up to break the press?
Yeah.
At the end of the game, they lined up
football,
five.
Football play.
That was. Yeah. I think they might have did it against us too.
Well, and they got the ball to Forrest.
Yeah, he didn't miss.
He played 17 minutes, and they're like, "Yeah, that's the guy we want on the line to end the game." And he went twice in a game where you're up two, and he made both free throws. No, he went twice while they were up one, and he made both free throws both times to put them up three. And Kansas State didn't even get off a three-pointer to end the game. They just dribbled it around out there trying to jack one from the logo and ended up eating it. UConn's been the most impressive, like has looked like the best team. Florida Atlantic has been the most impressive per where I thought they were. You know what I mean?
I mean,
yeah, you're 30, three.
I
but look at
say,
the schedule. I mean,
yeah,
come on.
What are they now? 33-3?
35-3 now.
Well, they were talking about them if they didn't win their conference tournament, even.
Yeah, yeah,
it.
Might not make it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the conversation.
They're in the
now.
Final four.
Well, and look at this, too. I mean,
guess how many tournaments they've played in?
Isn't this their third?
Second, I think.
Second? Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
This is a you know, the proponents for expansion are saying, see, some more of these teams that win 30-something games but can't win their conference tournament need to be in. While I don't disagree with that, the ratings on this Final Four are going to be very telling as to what the NCAA wants to do. Because what do we always say? We want all the upsets.
Until.
But I'd still kind of like some blue bloods in the Final Four.
Yeah.
And now you – I think Connecticut's like on the – by whatever the formula is for a blue blood. They're like on the verge. Like if you'd have done the 15-year metrics on it like 10 years ago, they would have been. But now that they've slipped down a little bit, they're not technically a blue blood.
If they win the national championship this year, it'll be five national titles in 25 years with three different head coaches.
It's just crazy how they go from natty to like really bad. I mean, not like down year, like bad. Fire their coach, get a new guy in there, and then right back to the Final Four.
They might not even want to win the Natty.
Why?
Because they'll just suck after it.
Yeah, then they'll go 5 years later, fire a coach, hire someone else, and then he'll come in and win it. We can't even get to one Final
Four.
But
in terms of expansion, how about instead of expanding the tournament, because I think it's perfect where it's at now, it's the best sporting event in the world, instead of giving the edge to a Big Ten team that went 17-14 in the last four in, go out there and find your FAUs.
They didn't win their conference.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I mean, that conference, I mean, North Texas won like 29 games this year, and they didn't win the conference, so they're not getting in.
How many years does Merrimack have to sit out? Can they get in the tournament next year?
It's three, right?
I thought it was three, but I thought maybe I was wrong. I thought it was three. I mean, that doesn't make sense either. Like, you transfer up, and you have to sit 3 years because it's an unfair advantage, even though you won your conference tournament. Yeah, and who was it that got in?
FDU.
FDU.
Okay, that's what I thought.
They beat Purdue.
Yeah.
And now since
that makes sense.
FAU is going to the American next year. They're switching conferences, so Conference USA will get to keep all of the bonus money that comes with the Final Four.
Yeah, I did see
that.
It's going to be what, like $13 to $15 million dollars, and the conference gets to keep it all.
Yeah, North Texas was the, I guess, second best team.
I tell you what, if I'm the Pac-12 right now, I'm extending the offer to San Diego State tonight.
Yeah.
Like, don't wait.
Mm-hmm.
They've been pretty good in football, too, over the last, you know, 15 years or so. Not like elite, but...
Have they?
Yeah, they've been pretty good. Isn't that where Harbaugh got his start? I'm pretty sure.
I believe you're right, Chris.
I mean, is Hoke there? Is he still there?
Yeah, Brady Hoke, right?
Yeah, he was. I don't know if he's still there.
What?
But, I mean, it's, yeah.
What's San Diego look like?
It's a city on the bay. Well, it's on the ocean, not really the bay.
I mean, like, the colors of San Diego University, not San Diego State.
Oh, I don't know.
They are red and black.
And so, San Diego State's also red and black? Is that why?
No. San Diego's blue and white.
Blue and yellow and white, aren't they?
I thought that's San Jose State.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. They look like West Coast Pitt.
Mm-hmm. Or UCLA, a little more powder blue, not so much.
Well, and more of a yellow, not gold.
Yeah.
What?
No.
Since 2015, San Diego State looks like they have 5 seasons of 10 or more wins.
Yeah, that's pretty. I mean,
Brady Hoke went 12-2 there in 2021, 7-6 this year.
I
want
to be your football coach.
Yeah, he did. Good Lord. All right.
Yeah, see, pretty good.
Yeah,
sign him up. What are you waiting on? That's an easy one. Gosh, I can't believe this. Of all the years, man.
Yeah, 10-3 in 2019.
Of all the years,
they
could
UCLA.
Have made a final.
They beat UCLA in 2019 in football.
Really?
At the Rose Bowl.
In front of dozens of fans. That was pre-COVID. It might not have been too bad.
Yeah.
Kelly was back there by then, wasn't he? 2019?
Yeah.
Was that his first year?
Second, maybe? I don't know. Maybe.
No, I think you're right. I think it would have been second.
Yeah, we blew it.
Yeah.
We freaking blew it. We were playing against the weakest seed to make the Final Four.
They were overseed. Okay.
They were criminally.
Make them a 4, yeah, make them a 5. Yeah. Like, you don't get any easier path.
No, I know. But I mean, they are damn good.
You played like crap, and you're up 5.
Yeah,
at
yeah. No, I won't disagree with that.
Like, has Connecticut not made a tournament since 2014? Or is that just, no, they're 16, 21, and 22. So they've won 4 national championships as a school. Went to 5 Final Fours.
Well, I mean, Calhoun, they had some sort of down years, but I mean, he had them good.
Oh no, he was
all
humming,
the time.
Yeah, yeah,
it's just since he's left, they've been kind of this like freaking roller coaster.
Haven't they been in trouble with NCAA?
They're like the Auburn of the Big East.
What was that coach? Kevin Ollie was his name.
Yeah, good Kevin call. Ollie.
Yeah, he.
They kind of remind me of Miami football, actually. Like Larry Coker wins the Natty
his
first year, and then they like can't make a bowl game for a while.
Ollie won in his first year, right?
Yeah.
And then
second.
Like, second year.
Was it his second?
That's like a bad seed though, right? Like not even a
good. Yeah, they won in 2000.
They were an 8 or a 9, weren't they?
They were a 7.
Oh, okay.
Was that Kimball Walker's? No, it wasn't Kimball Walker. No,
I think he's before that.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, Ollie was fired for just cause related to an NCAA investigation.
Because the other side of the bracket was the earlier one, I kept going, wait a minute. It's going to be FAU, San Diego State, Creighton, like in playing for the national championship. Like,
yeah,
it kept, like, even before it all got settled.
Yeah, one
like,
of San Diego State and FAU will play for the national
like,
championship.
Oh, yeah. It was like Creighton, Princeton, San Diego State, FAU. Like, somebody, one of those 4 teams will be playing for the national championship. Oh, and I was talking to somebody. Let's see how long it takes you guys. Name the last mid-major NCAA basketball champion. Name the year and the team. Go. UConn doesn't count. Big East doesn't count. That's power in basketball.
Should I know this?
You will when I say it. It's not necessarily easy. No, I mean, it's not in the last 3 or 4 years or anything like that. I mean, it's been a minute.
How many are we talking? A decade, 2 decades?
In the 90s. which kind of ruins the thing, but it's okay.
Don't Google it, Chris.
Not like UNLV or something, is it?
It is UNLV in 1990. Duke, North Carolina, Arkansas, UCLA, Kentucky, Arizona, Kentucky, UConn, Michigan State, Duke, Maryland, Syracuse, UConn, North Carolina, Florida, Kansas, North Carolina, Duke, Connecticut, Kentucky, Louisville, Connecticut, Duke, Villanova, North Carolina, Villanova, Virginia, Baylor, Kansas. It is UNLV in 1990. And you've got, you're going to have a mid-major play for the national championship Monday night, a week from tonight. And you'll have a power team on the other side. Miami or UConn versus San Diego State FAU.
I'm not stunned that UConn made it. Kind of like Miami, I watched them play one game this year, and they just beat the brakes off Florida. And you knew that they were super talented. And then they hit that weird stretch where they lose? Hickman, did they lose 7 out of 8?
Yeah.
Or 6 out of 7 at one point? I thought Miami was good enough to make a Sweet 16, maybe an Elite 8. Didn't think they'd make it to the Final Four. And then, obviously, I mean, no one saw San Diego State or FAU doing this.
Yeah.
It's a weird Final Four.
It's been a weird year.
It's been an entertaining. Has there been a buzzer beater in this tournament yet? Like a true buzzer beater?
No.
I don't think so. It's been a weird tournament. It's been good basketball.
Yeah, there's been a lot of buckets late.
Yeah, games. Yeah.
It's been good. Before 1990, team before that, 1966, Glory Road, Texas Western. Now UTEP. Yeah, Loyola Chicago in 63 as well.
UNLV, though, was an absolute powerhouse, though, back in the day.
They were.
Who was their coach during all that?
Tarkanian, right? Jerry?
Yeah.
I might say his last name wrong.
No, that was right.
Is that right?
Always chewed on the towel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were ranked in the top 10 for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Looks like 11 years straight.
Was it UNLV that Loyola Marymount was playing when Hank Gathers collapsed?
I don't know, maybe.
Because UNLV and Loyola Marymount, I mean, their whole thing was like, yeah, we'll give up 110 points, but we're going to score 140. Mm-hmm. I mean, just up and down the court.
They beat Duke in that championship game 103-73. They beat them by 30, and they made a freshman Bobby Hurley cry.
Bobby Hurley.
He did beat them in one of the biggest upsets in Final Four history the next year as a sophomore.
Mm.
That was the 91 Duke team that beat Kansas in the championship game. The best game of that tournament was the national semi between UNLV and Duke. That was when Coach K reached the mountaintop for the first time.
Mm.
Yeah, nothing like FAU having better basketball pedigree than Tennessee now. That's just great.
Our time will come. One day.
I love when people say, though, it's like, Tennessee's not a traditional basketball power. That's why we're not going to the Final Four.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a real FAU, historic program.
Yeah, San Diego State,
their
Miami.
Second tournament ever.
I always forget that.
Oh, that blue blood privilege is what this is.
I always forget that Larinaga's the man who took George Mason to the Final
yeah,
Four back
yeah.
in, what, 05, 06?
Duke can coach, man.
He really can. He also, like, he seems pretty light. Mm-hmm. He gets excited for his players, but, like, they waved off that shot that went over the basket.
Yeah.
You know the shot I'm talking about?
No.
The guy's going out of bounds. I thought he got fouled.
What a stupid rule.
I thought so, too. In fact, I thought you could do that, but not, whatever. He's going out. Baseline gets kind of pushed and shoots it over the backboard and in, and they wave it off immediately. And Larinaga's like, "What?" And the guy's like, "It went over the backboard." He's like, "Oh, okay." Like just like nothing. Like I would be just screaming because I swear I've seen Larry Bird hit that shot, Magic Johnson hit that shot.
If it goes over the backboard,
yeah,
over like a plane of the backboard.
It's
like it goes over the corner all the time.
That's what I'm saying. I was like, "Wait a minute."
Well, that's not a rule in the NBA.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, it's only in college where you can't shoot over the backboard. If you're like, if you get
well, that would make sense why
it.
I could name NBA players that I've seen hit that shot.
Yeah, and I guess if a college guy's hitting it from the corner, like it just
but if it
no
doesn't
angle.
Touch anything, like
what's the point?
Yeah,
no, it was weird. I mean, and as soon as it went
through.
Because
I'm going to recruit that one kid who's great at shooting it over the backboard. He's going to hide down there.
We post him up behind the backboard.
Yeah,
it's great.
You can never block his shot. No, whatever. All right, we'll come back with more. Stick with us. If you want to give us a shout, 865-546-8200 on the Big Orange Philly phone lines.
So hold my hand, I'll walk with you, my dear.
The stars creak. 865-546-8200 to jump on the Big Orange Philly phone lines. Up first today we have Polish Joe. What's up, Joe? You're on Three and Out.
Morning, guys.
Morning, Joe.
Hey, it was weird that you brought that Danny Hurley and UConn, how they struggled a little this year. Because I heard an interview with Danny Hurley yesterday, and the first question was, Coach, could you explain your little downturn for about 8-9 games this year, and what's the difference between then and now? And you know what this guy said? This guy said, it was because I was screaming at the referees more than coaching.
Interesting.
Now, me saying that, can you ever imagine Rich Bruins saying it was his fault why the team loses?
Nope. He probably would have said, "Well, we weren't locked in the way we needed to be." That's basically what he blamed us losing to the FAU on.
Who had worse body language?
Oh no, Polish Joe.
He said he pulled a Waka in the 28 seconds he played that game because his body language was bad.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
I read that.
Barnes looked like he popped a Xanax at halftime. He looked like he was sleeping.
Those late games, man. He was tired. What are you gonna do?
And then can you imagine what would Bobby Knight have done if your two leaders on the team, okay, Viscoli won before one of the biggest games of his career. He's worried about when he's going to go to sleep that night. And Triple J is worried about a game in November.
Wait, what was the Triple J thing?
He after the game,
right.
About Colorado.
Nobody believed in us after we lost to Colorado.
In game two.
You're actually thinking about that?
What a great tournament for him.
That just shows the leadership, man. Those are your leaders. You got Bruins, Triple J, and Viscovi. I mean, That sums everything up to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm a dang radio caller in my mid-40s, and I could barely sleep before the night before the game. And your star player, first-team SEC, is worried about what time it tips?
Yeah. When you put it that way, it really kind of stings.
You know, all weekend I've been thinking about what is the best way that we could not you can't fire him, but force him to leave. Well, if I'm Danny White, I have painters in his office right now painting that room orange. I would paint his office bright Tennessee Vol orange and see how long he can last.
Well, he's got you there because he doesn't use his office. He just sits in the gym.
Yeah, we're paying rent on that office he's not using.
Yep.
Or maybe buy him an orange. You know, we've wasted so much money giving him. Maybe buy him a bright Tennessee Vol orange Hummer or something. All orange interior. I mean, it's cheaper than $25 million. You buy a vehicle and paint his office.
Yeah.
I wonder, you know, it's so weird because I think he would hate, just the way he hates the color orange, I think he would hate the holiday Halloween. But then the other side is, why, he dresses and acts like a coach, so you would think Halloween would be his favorite holiday.
Oh, it's going to be a long off season, boys. Long off season.
Hey, one last time for the year till next year, because no one says it better than your partner there. Rose Petters!
Thanks for the call, Polish Joe.
Rose Petters!
We're going to get over that hump one day.
Are we?
I mean, yeah.
Are we with him?
No.
Are we going to make a Final Four with Rick Barnes?
It's going to be an out-of-nowhere thing. Like this year, like we limp into the tournament, and then, you know. I don't think we're going to be like.
Or, I mean, he might.
Some 36-0
team.
It might
be 2-3 years down the road. He retires and we get a first-year coach, and he brings half his mid-major team with him, gets a couple guys out of the portal.
Seems to be a pretty good philosophy.
And we're on the brink, you know. I mean. I don't want to hear the who we going to get anymore, because you can basically get anybody and roll the dice. And you might suck. You might be in the CBI, but you might be in the Final Four. You never know. At some point, just the devil you know is not better than the devil you don't. At some point.
I'm not there.
We're not
yet.
At that point. I'm Texas not... got to that point.
Yeah.
And really, they should have made the Final Four last night, and they didn't. So, I mean, you know, it feels like kind of a crapshoot. But at some point, fans are just going to get kind of tired of the same thing happening, regardless of whether there's a better – regardless of the new guy being a better option or a worse option. You're not – you'll just never know that until, you know,
right. Yeah,
four or five, six more years.
It's a roll of the dice. Kim English. It's worth a shot.
We'll see. We get to test him out. We get to watch him. Providence now. Better resources, you know, dudes.
It is weird to think about whenever the time does come. Like,
if he retires tomorrow, what are we doing?
I don't know.
And I saw Charlie say Dusty May's not going to go somewhere else because there's not a good fit. I'm like, dude, anywhere's a good fit. When
he
how
makes
much
like,
was he making?
Like 400,000.
Yeah, anywhere's a good fit. There are 80s. Talking to their boosters right now, trying to figure out how to buy out guys if they can get Dusty May.
Yeah. It might be a little quick.
It might.
To crown him as the next great, but he does check a lot of the boxes.
You know what he kind of, you know, it.
It reminds me of a better Mike White.
For me, it's like, well, if it works out, awesome, man. I think, you know, I think he is a good coach and I like his play style, but. This guy might be known as Shaka Smart 2.0 here in a couple of years.
I don't think he's great in game, but he has gotten this team. He reminds me of a really good soccer coach. You know, in soccer, you just can't really manage every play. You know, you try and get a group of guys that play really well together. You throw them out there. You make certain subs at certain times. You kind of have some kind of style one. Then you can go to style, you know, you can insert a guy, switch the formation a little bit. But it's very hands-off compared to basketball.
Mm.
He reminds me of, you know, and you just kind of chill over there on the sideline and hope to celebrate a few goals. Like, that's kind of all it is in a nutshell. Most of the coaching is done before the game starts. I feel like that's kind of how he handles this basketball team, and it's working. And maybe that's why they're winning. Maybe they're playing with less stress. They're definitely quicker to the ball. Talk about winning 50-50 balls.
Yep.
They're doing that.
Against everybody.
Yeah.
Seven-footer. Never mind.
Yeah, final segment, hour one. Yep. Back at you next. Final segment, hour one. Final four set. We're not in it. It's just making people mad.
I mean, coming into the tournament, did we really think this is our year?
No.
No.
You think FAU thought it was their year to go to a Final Four coming into the tournament?
Maybe. Or it's Miami? Probably the best season they've had in school history. Maybe.
Okay, you still don't expect that. Like, I don't care how good of a season you have as a mid-major.
I think you wish for it a little more, though.
I agree with that.
When you're an 8 or 9 seed and you're that good, I mean, you're probably thinking, God, if we can just beat the one, we take their slot, mm-hmm. You know.
Didn't even have to do that.
Yeah. I mean, we were the four, and so we had that same – I mean, that's what I had that thought. I was like, well, Purdue's the one everybody wanted to play this season. And sure enough, that was the right call. The next time some, you know, media idiot tries to tell you that fans don't know anything, I remember Aaron Torres tweeted as soon as the bracket came out, well, Purdue's the team everybody wanted to play, so now you got them. It's like, okay, great. FDU put them out. I mean – the fans are right. Purdue was kind of a one-man team. And FDU dared the other guys to shoot it, and they couldn't make shots.
How about that baseball team, though, huh?
Yeah. Back on track.
Just a nice little weekend sweep.
Mm-hmm. Needed it. It's hard to sweep any SEC team. It really is.
Especially when you're playing from behind as quickly as we do in all three games.
Hopefully we're waking up a little bit.
Yeah, the
plate looked good. It's the the pitching
the thing.
Three
we thought
guys
we could count
expected.
On.
Yeah.
Maybe having the big challenge this weekend though, be the what gets them locked in.
They need to.
Mm-hmm. This is the start of a gauntlet. That's for sure. Like Houston said during the break, it's crazy.
I mean, I realize it's the SEC and schedules are tough, but good Lord.
As tough as it gets.
You have four straight series against top five teams.
That is barely possible, obviously.
And who knows? I mean, it could be the top four teams by the time, you know, we get to that
get
specific series.
Yeah, over the weekend it was 10-4, 8-7, and 9-6 as Tennessee gets the sweep over the Texas A&M Aggies. They were in the friendly confines of Lindsey Nelson Stadium. And now it's on the road.
What was A&M ranked coming into this one?
21.
They hung on, right? That's what I thought.
Yeah, this says 21.
I didn't realize he had Zane batting ninth, and he hit two home runs yesterday. Pretty impressive.
You said four of the top five next?
Something like that.
Yeah, 1, 3, 4, and 5.
Is it two away and two at home?
Yeah.
And then the defending national champions.
Who?
Oh, gosh, yeah. 0-6 in the conference.
The weakest team.
Well, Ole Miss and Mississippi State are both winless in conference.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah.
It's the first time that's happened since, like, 1930.
Ole Miss won last year.
Didn't Mississippi
State won the year before, though, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Did Mississippi State get the College World Series last year? Or was that Texas A&M I'm thinking of? It was
A&M.
A&M, yeah.
Yeah, Ole Miss got there, won it.
Yeah.
Let me see.
Standings are pretty.
Ole Miss is about to be ready to run their coach out again.
Bianco. Yeah, Mississippi State 0-6 in the conference. They played. Let's see. They got. Oh my gosh. So they played Vanderbilt.
Did they? They played. Ole Miss played Florida this weekend.
I'm talking about Mississippi State.
Oh, okay.
They lost 26-3 on Friday.
It's not bad.
18-5 Saturday.
Getting better.
And 11-7 on Sunday. Yeah, if they could have played two or three more of these bad boys, they'd have got a win.
Mm-hmm. Just ran out of time. Yeah. All right. Here's your top 12 D1 baseball before it updates today. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is before it updates, usually during the show. Number one, LSU. That's who we play next. Then number three, Florida. After that, right? Number four, Vanderbilt. They're two series after that because we play number five, Arkansas, before them. So it's number one, number three, number five, number four. Then you have Wake Forest is number two. You have Louisville at 6, UCLA at 7, Virginia at 8, Stanford at 9, East Carolina at 10. South Carolina's 11. They're on your schedule, I think, to wrap up the SEC slate. And you are 12.
Yeah, Yeah, South Carolina's 6-0 in the conference right now.
I think they've played some weaker teams, right? Like Georgia and Missouri, maybe. Oh yeah, the
Missouri. Team. Yeah, that's
sorry.
What are you doing? What are you doing over
well,
there?
Well, I mean, compared to who we're about to play.
Oh yeah, they played that trash squad up there in Columbia. Yeah, they played Missouri.
Please.
We were never even in that series.
Did you guys see what happened with Missouri this weekend, though?
No.
They lost, like, 2 starting pitchers, I believe.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Like, back-to-back games. Like, guys made it through 2 innings. Trainer comes out to the mound.
Really?
Huh. Were they at home?
Believe so.
No. South Carolina. Sorry, just looking through.
Probably not used to that warm weather. They've been throwing tight up in Como since it's been freezing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's gonna be a snake pit in Baton Rouge this weekend.
It's Thursday through Saturday that series.
Yeah, that means that Thursday one's on TV, right? Like good TV.
ESPNU at 8.
Yeah, we play Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh wow, that's awesome.
Oh wow.
Then the Florida series starts on Thursday as well, the following weekend. No, it's here.
So we play UNC Asheville Tuesday, and then we got to jet down to the Bayou Wednesday.
Yeah,
play there. Normally it's Friday,
it's
though.
Baseball, man.
I know.
With this team, I think you like that, though.
Don't let them sit on it.
Yeah, short rest before you play the number one team in the country on the road.
Just go in and play loose. Yeah,
no midweek game between LSU and Florida.
That's probably good. You might want to recover there.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. I love how you literally just said, that might be good for this team. And now it's like, no, there's no midweek game the next week. Yeah, it's probably a good thing. You want to rest and recover.
You want to go into the game the series with the number one team hot. And then if it doesn't go your way, maybe no game in the midweek helps you the following week.
Hmm.
Play UNC Asheville tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Nice.
Who? One second.
Did y'all watch any of the games this weekend?
Yeah, a little bit. I had them on. I was flipping around. That and the Bassmaster Classic.
I caught most of Saturday's game. The wind was nuts.
Saturday, yeah. Let's see here. Goo. So LSU. Oh, interesting. They did not sweep Texas A&M last weekend.
Okay.
They won 9-0, 12-7, and then lost 8-6 in game 3. They also lost 1 out of 3 to Arkansas. They did run rule Arkansas. Wait, I thought they weren't doing that in league games.
I thought they said they were. I thought the midweek games they were deciding on whether.
Oh, because they had to play a doubleheader Saturday. They have been going to 7 with a 10-run rule if they have to do a doubleheader. Okay. Yeah, then they won 12-2 and 14-5.
LSU's first in batting average, first in runs scored, first in on-base percentage, second in slugging.
We've got to be dead last in base running errors. I don't know what the hell's going on with this
team. Have you seen the hitting stats for us this year? It's like we're like super good. Like I think it's like up there on the top half in the conference, but once we get guys in scoring position,
yeah,
it just absolutely tanks.
We were 14th with runners in scoring position, right? Yeah, I tweeted that out. This was before the weekend series, but it was just basically we weren't clutch at all.
Yeah.
Like, we could get on base, but then once you got someone on base, we just completely fell off. So hopefully we fix some of that this weekend.
Oh, man. Well,
whole stick of butter, y'all.
Well, now how good we are coming up for the next few weeks.
Yeah, we'll learn a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully we'll rise to the occasion and get us going. Hour 2, back at you next.